I wanted to share a really cool tool that's helped me as chief of staff. It's helped me with team building and being an effective communicator and understanding what's really driving my actions and behaviors and what is really driving my colleagues' actions and behaviors. And it's a great framework to understand why you tend to click with some people and clank with others and how to identify that and find ways to move forward together. The tool I'm referring to is a DISC report, D-I-S-C, DISC, DISC report, DISC profile, DISC assessment. It's one of these tools that's kind of in the Myers-Briggs, CliftonStrengths family of tools and profiles. And I like this one because it's simple. There's only four styles. There's not like 37 permutations of different things. So there's four styles and it's right in the name. But I've used this as chief of staff. I ran a report for myself. I ran a report for my principal, our leadership team, and I ran DISC reports for several members of our management team. And it was a really great way to get to know each other in a short amount of time. Our leadership team, we had a whole bunch of relatively new members, and we were all moving fast right away, under pressure right away, and having that shortcut or shorthand with each other at the very beginning was really, really useful for us to gel as a team. And so I would highly encourage people to use this if they have the opportunity to. And even if they don't, then I'll go through the methodology and some concepts and ways to identify different styles and ways to adapt some of the communication and interaction you have to make those the most effective and to be more influential in your interactions with people. All right. So DISC assessment, DISC profile. A quick definition. So DISC is a simple, practical tool that can be applied to business settings and really any interpersonal relationship that you have. It's going off of observable behavior and emotion. So observable behavior and emotion. DISC is not a measure of intelligence or creativity or education or experience or a judgment on the values you have. It's none of that. It's a personality profile in the sense that your behaviors and emotions are part of your personality, but it's not a judgment on you're this kind of person, and therefore it's better than that other kind of person. All right, so most people know the golden rule. The golden rule is where you treat other people like you would like to be treated, which is great and well-intentioned and all good, but it's under the assumption that everyone else wants to be treated exactly like you want to be treated. And the platinum rule, which DISC espouses, says treat other people like they want to be treated. And in order to treat people how they want to be treated, you have to know how they want to be treated and then adapt your style to do that. So we're going to be working under the platinum rule when we're working with DISC. And DISC is kind of a three-part framework. It says, hey, look, there's this predictable framework. So I can take observable behaviors and put them in a freakishly predictable, accurate framework. The second piece is I can learn to identify the different DISC styles. So if I learn how to identify these behaviors and emotions and group them into the model or framework that's predictable, I can learn to do that. And the third piece is I can also learn and train myself to adapt my style or flex my communication style so it lands better or lands as intended with the audience member or the listener that I'm speaking to. And the really cool thing about this framework, which I love, is it actually teaches you, people will show you and teach you how they want to be treated if you know what to look for. All right, a very important note, which I will harp on and remind you throughout this episode, is there are no good or bad styles. People often ask me, Emily, okay, I get the styles. What's the best one? I'm like, there's no best one. No one is better than the others. We are actually all a blend of the four styles. So once you learn about the four styles, you might say, oh yeah, I do have a little bit of that one. I have a lot of that one. But sometimes I show up with this style and that style too. So we're all a blend. And also there's different pros and cons that each style brings. So there's different strengths and weaknesses in each style, which we'll go through in this episode. Okay, so there's this predictable model, predictable framework, got that. How do we go about identifying which style we have? So which style am I and I gravitate toward? And how about which style does my team members have, or what style this style shows up kind of for them? So the first thing we want to look at is, does a person tend to be indirect or direct? Are they more indirect or direct? And you can follow along if you're watching on YouTube. I have it on the screen. But if you're listening, think about, we're going to make a chart or a graph. Think about the x-axis, so the horizontal left to right line. And on one end is indirect, and on the other end is direct. And so that's the first thing we look for. And if you're indirect, you will approach risk and change and decisions more slowly. That's kind of, okay, let me ease my way in to this new situation. They will be infrequent contributors to group conversations. So they're not going to be like Hermione, like, I know, all throughout the group conversation. They might sit back and chime in here and there, but not take over that conversation. They often qualify their statements. So it could be, as I understand it, or I'm not quite sure, but I think, or I've been hearing different things here and there, and this is what I think right now, but I could be wrong. Kind of those types of qualifying statements. They also ask questions that tend to gather more information. They want to clarify. They want supporting information. They want context. All of those types of things tend to be where their questions are directed towards. They tend to be more patient, more cooperative, and more diplomatic. So all of those traits tend toward the indirect side of the spectrum. If you go to the other side of the spectrum and you have someone who's very, very direct, they will approach risk and change and decisions very quickly, and they'll not have a problem with that. They will be frequent contributors to group conversations. They might be the ones being like, it's this and that. And it's like, I didn't even ask you yet, but thank you for sharing your opinion, something like that. They have no trouble speaking up in a group setting. They often have big hand gestures or body language. So someone on a direct end of the spectrum will kind of be a little bit more contained, or even their voice, their vocal variety will be in a smaller range, whereas someone who's direct might speak very loudly at times and also might soften it up at others. They might speak very quickly and go like this, and they also might slow it down for emphasis. So on the direct side, you get vocal intonation, vocal variety, and big gestures or big body language, and it happens more frequently for them. They'll do it a lot. They will make emphatic statements. I'm 100% sure. I don't have a question. I don't need clarifying stuff. We should go this way, and we should go this way now. Their questions, if they ask some, tend to be rhetorical. So it's not really to elicit more information. It's more like putting a cherry on top of the sundae, or like putting a exclamation point at the end of their point that they just made. And they definitely express their opinions readily, and they have no problem being confrontational or being intense. And intense is one of the words that other people often describe someone who is direct as. So they're very intense. And even if someone heard that, they'd be like, that's fine. They don't take that as maybe I should change my tone a little bit. Intense is fine. All right. So that's the first axis that we're looking at, indirect and direct. The next thing we want to look at is, does someone tend to be a little more guarded, or are they very open? So on the y-axis in our chart, so the up and down, guarded is on top and open is on bottom. So if you are guarded, you tend to keep your feelings and emotions more private. It doesn't mean you don't have them. It just means you tend to keep them more private to yourself. They will tend to make decisions based on evidence and facts, and they'll go about collecting that information before they decide. They tend to be more proper and more formal. So if there's a kind of a certain way to do something at a board meeting, or a certain way to behave or show up in different settings, they'll try to do that. And they will stick to the agenda. If there's a plan or a set agenda for this time, they want to stick to that. And they're also very disciplined with their time and deliberate with how they use their day. And if people encroach on that or they deviate from that, it's a little bit unsettling or annoying to someone who tends to be more guarded. They get to know a new situation or a new person more slowly. And they also, interestingly, they also have minimal physical contact. And this is another thing you can tell by just observing someone is how do they move in space? How do they interact with people? Do they stand very close to people or a little bit further away? Do they do a brief handshake or like a very hearty, like, oh, it's really great to meet you type of thing? And the guarded folks will tend to be a little bit more contained and more minimal with their physical contact. They show less enthusiasm. Doesn't mean they aren't enthusiastic, but they tend to show less enthusiasm. And all things being equal, they tend to work alone. So if there's a group project or a solo project and it's up to them, they'll raise their hand for the solo project. All right, so that's guarded. On the other side is open. So when you're an open person, you will show your emotions and share your feelings with someone you just met. And that's not a problem because that's what we're here to do, is to share a feeling, and you're a person who's in the same room as me. They tend to make their decisions based on their feelings. So they're not going to go collect hard, cold evidence. They might say, I'm feeling really energetic and happy today. So yeah, let's do it. Let's go this way. Whereas if they're feeling a bit frustrated or sad or angry or just tired, no, like let's put that off. Let's not do that right now. And that's what their decision is based off of. They tend to be more relaxed about things and more warm and open. And they're more flexible about their time. So, oh yeah, we had that agenda for this meeting. And I might start with the agenda, but I might go over here. And that might remind me of a fun time I had this weekend. So let me share that. And they're a lot more flexible with how they use their time. Yeah, this meeting was about that thing originally, and we went over here, but that's perfectly fine. They're excited about new situations, and they're excited to meet new people. That's just like opening a Christmas present for them. And they also tend to initiate or accept physical contact. So they might be the folks who are shaking your hand with two hands, like one on the outside of your hand as well. They might do the forearm, like, oh, it's really good to meet you, or the back slap or the back pat, all of those types of things. They'll tend to stand a little closer to people. So just things you can pick up on their body language and how they move in space. They tend to show more enthusiasm. So again, the two folks could be the same amount of excited for something, but they just show up a little differently. They just show it differently. And all things being equal, they'll tend to want to work in a group. So group project, sign me up. I'm for that all the way. All right, so that's guarded and open. So now we have the x-axis, which is indirect and direct. And then we have the vertical axis, which is guarded and open. Okay, so now we've got indirect and direct, and we've also got guarded and open. So indirect, direct on our x-axis horizontally, and guarded and open on our vertical y-axis. And then if you draw a line or a square around the border of those axes, then you will get four quadrants. And those four quadrants correspond with our four disc styles. So here we go. If you are direct and guarded, you are a D style or dominant for dominance. If you're direct and open, you're influence. You are an I style. If you tend to be more indirect and more open, you're S for steady or steadiness. And if you're indirect and guarded, then you're conscientious or C style. So those four quadrants correspond with the four disc styles. Okay, so dominant discs, D styles are risk takers, they're forceful, they're decisive, they're direct, they're self-reliant, and they are competitive. They like to win. Influential are influential, sociable, optimistic, they're trusting, they're very friendly, and they're very enthusiastic about things. If you're steady, then you're calming, you are loyal, you are very relaxed about things, you're consistent, and you're patient. If you're conscientious style, then you tend to be very analytical, and you're systematic, and you're precise. You like to find the facts for things. You're very focused, and you tend to be very courteous to people. All right, so those are some of the descriptors for each of the four styles. I'm going to throw in two other ways that you can identify what style someone is. So two other ways are pace and priority. So pace meaning, do they tend to be on the slower side, or do they do things more quickly? Do they move faster? And you can pick this up in a whole bunch of different ways. So do they think slow? Do they think thoroughly or deliberately? Or are they faster to come to a conclusion? Do they write slowly? Does it take them a while to formulate a message or craft that all-company email that goes out? Or do they do that on the fly? Do they move faster or slower? So literally watch them walk down the hall. Some people are very deliberate with their motions and they are controlled and a little bit more contained and they are slower. And some people are like flying down the hallway and they move with purpose. And it's like, are you late for something type of thing? So you can pick up on the pace slower or faster in a whole bunch of different ways. The second one is priority. So does a person tend to be task-oriented or people-oriented? And again, no right or wrong, but do they tend to want to get the task done? What is our goal here? Let's do that. Versus, oh, here are the people in the room. Let me make sure that everyone's doing okay and everyone is taken care of and feeling good about this. All right. So with all of those, we then have indirect, direct, guarded, open, slow, fast, task, and people. So those are all the indicators we say, okay, how do we identify the DISC styles in ourselves and in others around us? All right, time for another important reminder. No good or bad styles. No, this one is the best style. Here's the stack rank of all the other three. We are a blend of all four styles. So if you were listening to that and saying, oh, like I'm definitely in that quadrant, I'm definitely towards that style, but I have a little bit of that in me too. And oh, like I'm showing up that way sometimes. That's absolutely true. We are a blend of all four styles. And each style brings something different to the table. So they have a unique set of strengths and things that tend to be challenging for them. So let's go into those right now. Four dominant styles. What do they do best? So they make decisions and they take charge. If you want something done, give it to a dominant style. They are fearless. So if you have an insurmountable obstacle or a seemingly impossible task, like, I don't know how we're going to do this, give it to a D style because they'll take that and run with it. They'll say, follow me. Here we go. We're going to win. Let's plow through this thing. If you were to say, oh my gosh, like Mount Everest is the highest mountain that's super challenging to climb and to summit, someone with a dominant style will be like, easy, let's go. And it's like they're on their way and the whole group is kind of like, whoa, do you want to wait for like a map or supplies or food? And they're like, why would I wait when I can be winning? I'll see you at the top. That's a D style. All right. What's hard for them? Anything that's repetitive. I have to do this over and over and over again every day. These same things over and over and over again. Ds will have a really tough time with that. If there's a situation that requires a high degree of diplomacy, that might not be the best spot for someone with a dominant style. If it's, hey, we have to bring these parties together, we have competing agendas, it's really important to pick up on the subtleties, on the nuances, reading between the lines, that might be a challenge for someone with a dominant style. Anything with lots of rules and regulations, like, oh, like, don't like bind me, don't constrict me, like, just let me go and do my thing. I take rules as kind of suggestions anyway. So if you throw a whole bunch at me, I'm going to get a little bit flustered and a little bit claustrophobic. It can be challenging for them to open up. These are certainly not shy people, but talking about their personal matters or their feelings could be something that they hold back on a little bit until they really get to know someone. And even then, it could be a challenge for them. All right, what about the influential style? So these folks tend to be really good at inspiring other people. So let me get up and rally the troops. Let me get up and say, yeah, that was a tough for us. We got knocked down, but here we go. Like, let's go. We got this. It's a brand new opportunity. They tend to think very quickly on their feet. So if, for instance, you have an I style up at an all-hands meeting and they're doing live-fire Q&A, they tend to relish that. They love that kind of interaction. And they have no problem kind of dancing up there and taking people's questions. They're anything where it's optimistic, we need high degrees of intuitiveness and creativeness, the I's are really good at that. They are also full of ideas. So if you have a brainstorming project, oh, we need to figure out, you know, how do we break into this market in a new way? Let's do something that no one else is doing. And I would love to be part of that conversation. And they will have a lot of great ideas to contribute. All right. What tends to be hard for them? So anything with restrictions or routine, anything with formal reporting or meticulous detailed records, that's not the world they live in. Anything where they have to redo something they've already done. So if they feel like I've already done that and you try to reopen it, that could be really tough for them to reengage with. So if it's a, hey, you know, you went to a conference, can you write a one-page debrief for the board? Yes, absolutely. Da-da-da-da, here you go. And then it's like, oh, wait, could you actually add this, this, and this, and, you know, maybe summarize this part a little bit differently? Well, wait, I just did that. Like, I'm already done with that. It's already off of my radar entirely. So they could have challenges with something that has to be revisited a whole bunch of different times or different iterations. All right. What about the studies? So if people with an S-DISC style, what are they good at? They are good at bringing harmony to group situations. So if you need someone to bring a group together and make sure everyone is feeling good and feeling heard, you want to put your S style in that room. They're friendly. They're sensitive. They're sensitive themselves. They internalize a lot, but they're also sensitive and in tune with other people in the room. They tend to be described as great listeners. Oh my gosh, she was a great listener. Oh my gosh, he listened to what I had to say. So that's a hallmark. And they want to listen not only to get the information themselves, but they want to make sure everyone is heard, and they want to make sure they have all of the opportunities and options to bring the group together. So they really want to make sure that they're listening to people well. They build networks and they have a lot of friends throughout the organization. So I know a lot of people and I help them with these projects and they help me with this project and we all work together on these things. They coordinate and they cooperate with others very, very well. So those are things that S styles tend to do really well at. What's hard for them? Anything with competition. If it's like, who's number one? Let's go get the gold medal. They'll be like, why can't we create a game where everyone gets a gold medal? Or why do we have medals at all? Like, let's all get along. Who cares about who gets the gold medal? If they're playing sports, it's like, oh, someone is chasing me because I have a ball. I will gladly give you the ball if that's what helps the group out. They have trouble with dictatorial and unfriendly people. They're steady. They like equilibrium. They don't like rocking the boat. So when someone is upset or when someone is high degree on the Richter scale and goes up and goes down and is left and is right, that's really tough for someone who has a steady style. They tend to be slow at making decisions because, you know, if I'm wrong or if I upset this group of people or if I make this call and this group of people is upset or impacted, they might kind of pause and stutter step in those situations. So if you're in a scenario where like we need to make a go, no go call right now, that's going to be tough for someone with an S style. Also tough is voicing a contrary opinion, especially in a group setting. So if they're in this big conference room and everyone is like jazzed and happy about, yeah, let's go this way and do this thing with this project. And they're sitting there going, ooh, like I kind of feel like we should go this way, or maybe we should think about it this way. But I don't want to say that because I don't want to rock the boat and I don't want to disrupt the harmony that's already with this group. So voicing a contrary opinion could be a challenge for them. All right, for the conscientious styles, they are really good at being organized and keeping themselves organized and everyone else organized. So they will plan. They are planners. They have a spreadsheet for things. They have tabs on the spreadsheet. The tabs are color-coded on their spreadsheet. They will gladly help you make your spreadsheet because you need to be more organized and planful too. They will think thoroughly through a decision before acting. And they are quick to think, but slow to speak. So people might describe them as, oh, they're pretty quiet, or, oh, they didn't have a lot to say in that meeting. Doesn't mean they're not thinking, doesn't mean they're not taking it in, but they're slow to speak and to share their thoughts because they want to be thoughtful about it and want to think about it, organize their thoughts, and plan what they're going to say to the group. If you are trying to plan something with specific requirements or it has to be to a certain specification, conscientious styles will love that. So where others would balk at like, oh, rules and regulations, hey, we need to get this done, but make sure we don't do this and make sure we hit all of these requirements, all right? A C will go, okay, I will figure out a way to meet all those requirements and fit something perfectly in that spot. And that'll be no problem for them. They're very good at that. What's difficult for them? working with unpredictable situations and unpredictable people. Also, disorganized situations and disorganized people are like fingernails on a chalkboard to them. It can be challenging for them to be outgoing. So if you think about a networking event where you walk into a room and there's hundreds of people at little tables and all standing with their name tags, whoa, okay. Whereas an I would love to go in that room and shine in that room and make a whole bunch of new connections, a conscientious style would say, all right, I'm trying to plan for all these permutations and combinations of conversations and agendas and all these things, and it might be challenging for them to go into that room. Working with others and working in groups could be challenging. They're very much solo individual workers, so individual contributor type roles in that sense. They really rail against incomplete information and unclear directions. So if someone's like, go do this, and it's like, well, I need to know this about it, or like, what do you mean by that? And it's very vague, like, just go do it. That can be a challenge for someone with a conscientious style. All right, one more reminder, no good or bad styles, no best style, worst style. We are all a blend of all four styles. And we just heard about the strengths and the weaknesses of each style. Now, an effective leader will know that high-performing teams have all styles. If you want a high-performing, high-achieving team, you need all styles. You need all of these things that the different styles bring to the table. So if you are recruiting and bringing on new team members, you might take a look at, oh, who do I have on my team today? And who would complement their skill sets well? What other types of DISC styles do we need on the team to be a fully fledged, full-rounded, high-performing team? And it might be the sense that I've inherited my team, and so I can't really change it per se. So just knowing what kind of styles you have is good information. And even if you tend to be, let's say, a lot of I styles on your team, all right, that's fine. But because we're all a blend of them, someone might have a predominant I style, but have a lot of C style in them as well. So, okay, they, you know, maybe their first and foremost style is influential, but they can go into detailed work and they can be conscientious in other ways. And so just knowing the makeup of your team in those different aspects is really useful as a leader. Okay, so quick checkpoint here. I'm going to read four short scenarios and you tell me, or you think through, what style would be best suited for that scenario. Okay, so the first one is if you need to QA a large piece of complex code with a complex rule set and requirements, and if not done properly, the whole system will come down. Who do you send in to do that task? Who is best suited to do that? You've got D, I, S, and C. If you said conscientious, then you would be right. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, someone who is conscientious will love the fact that there's all these rules and there's complex settings and it's very detailed work. It's very high stakes work. And so they will be best suited to go in there and QA that really big, complex piece of code. The next scenario is if you need someone to give an inspiring speech to prospects and generate some buzz and sales leads for a new product, who would you send in to do that? It might not be the person who's super jazzed about QAing the code, the piece of code. It might be. You never know. We're all blends of styles. But who would be best suited? What style? It would be the I style or influential. They will love to rally the troops. They will love to get people optimistic and really excited for the new product. All right, the third one. If you have a daunting task and you need someone to displace a competitor in a market or territory they've been entrenched in for a long time and that they've been dominant in for a long time, who would you send in? This is a really tough ask. This is really hard. This is challenging. It's not a cakewalk. Who would you send in? You would send in someone with a D style. So someone's like, okay, you've got an entrenched competitor. Watch me. You think it's impossible to displace them and win and beat them? Watch me. Watch this. I'll do it. So that would be someone with the dominant style. The fourth one would be, what happens if you need someone to facilitate a team building session with two important groups after a company merger? And this person must create harmony and synergy as quickly as possible. Which style would be best suited for that one? If you said steady style, that would be correct. So they would go in there and they say, okay, we have all these different people. They're a little bit uneasy because we just went through a merger. I want to make sure people are feeling good and steady and collaborative and get to know each other. All of those types of things would be an S style. All right. The next thing to talk about is this notion of adapting your style. So we all have a natural style and an adapted style. So a natural style is how you show up when you're sitting on your couch watching Netflix. That's your natural style. Your adapted style is in the scenario that you're in or in the environment that you're in. What do you adapt to? Because you think that's what it takes to be successful in that setting. So we all adapt our style a little bit in different settings, or most of us do. And so if you think about going through your day, you are adapting your style to your manager and to your colleagues, your peers, to your direct reports, and certainly to your customers a little bit differently. So you could be adapting your style as you go throughout your day. So not only are you a blend of all four styles, but that mix and which one is prominent or sticking out the most or showing up the most changes as you go through these interactions in different meetings and calls and talking to different people throughout your day. Now, this certainly shows up when you go outside of work. So a lot of people show up very differently when they're in a work environment than with their family and their friends. So that could be a big way to adapt too. Key thing here is if you are adapting a lot from your natural style when you show up at work, that might be something to look at. So when we adapt our style, we're stretching ourselves way out here to try to be this thing to be successful in this environment. That takes a lot of energy. That takes a lot out of us. Now, if you're sitting there going, well, I need to do that, and you truly need to adapt that far to be successful, then do that. That's great. That's the answer to your question. That's what you need to do. If it's a sense of, oh, maybe I need to do that, but not that much, not to the extent that I'm stretching myself. Well, if you can conserve half of that energy and redeploy it into something else, that might very well be a better use of your energy and your efforts. So just a quick check with yourself. Okay, what's my natural style and what's my adapted style? So for instance, the natural style could be, I'm more of an S style when I'm kind of sitting with friends watching Netflix. And then when I go to work, I kind of present and I flex myself into an I style. Well, that could be your adapted style. So things like that, just something to keep an eye on. Okay, so we've got this predictable framework. We've learned a bit about how to identify people's DISC styles. So styles for ourselves, styles for our team. And then in terms of adapting our work style, our communication style to be most effective with people, how do we go about doing that? So if you know that you're interacting with a dominant style, you want to be clear, specific, brief, and organized. Be clear, specific, brief, and organized. If you're meeting with someone with a dominant style, have bullet points, have executive summaries, don't beat around the bush, get right to the point and right to the task at hand. Also, stick to business, especially at the beginning. Don't try to force a personal relationship. So if you go in there, it's the first time you're meeting someone and you have a one-on-one, you're sitting across the desk and you start asking about their weekend. And I heard your grandma was in the hospital. A D style might sit there and go, whoa, like, why are you asking me about my weekend? I'm like, why are you talking about my sick grandma? We have a task at hand. Let's get this done. So over time, they might open up, but I would certainly not start with that or open with that until they kind of open the door for you. All right, adapting to an I style, so the influential styles. So give them opportunities to shine. Give them the spotlight. Give them the limelight. If there's a segment at the all-company meeting where they can present what them and their team have been doing, do that. If there's a conference they can go to and give a keynote speech or even do a workshop with a whole bunch of prospects or strategic partners, let them do that. If there is a brainstorming meeting or, hey, we have to get the new hires really excited about working here, send in your I style. That's great. Give them chances to shine. Make sure they have an environment of excitement and variety. So again, routine and the mundane is really challenging for them. So make sure they have opportunities for doing new and exciting things. So if you think about it, some of the styles don't like change. that's going to thrash them and throttle them. But for an I style, they need that variety. Variety is the spice of life type of thing. So they need to be put on different types of projects and they like that. So if you're a leader and you have a choice between, oh, I kind of have to switch someone back to something else, well, instead of thrashing your conscientious or steady folks, you might do that with your I style team member if you have a choice. Okay, if you are speaking with an S style or a steady, give them opportunities to contribute to group conversations. So if you're in a group conversation and people have been talking about different points and different perspectives, and you want to make sure everyone is heard and kind of recap the conversation, it might be, Lauren, can you give us a wrap up of everything that people have been saying in a quick summary and maybe our go forward steps? That would be something that S could do. If two people are at loggerheads, where it's like, oh, okay, we have some tension here. If you set it up right for an S, so they're not having to pick sides, but rather, hey, Jonathan, what's the option we haven't been thinking of? What's the solution that could meet both of these needs here? That might be a way for S to contribute to that group conversation. Be patient with your steadies. Take the time to answer their questions and address their concerns. Not only because it's nice to answer people's questions and address their concerns, if you get steadies on board with what you're trying to do, they will be the ones in group conversations that you're not in advocating for that. So that could look like we're doing this sweeping change, this kind of sweeping change across the company. It's a little bit daunting, a little bit unsettling, especially for steadies. But if you take the time to talk to them in group conversations you're not in, they could say, you know, I know that's kind of overwhelming. I was so overwhelmed too, but you know, I was talking to Emily and she said this, this, and this. And I was thinking about it. And I think that if we actually do this, it could be really good for all the teams and we could communicate better and we kind of have visibility into things we didn't have before. So this actually could be good for the group. They might make comments like that. Or it might be, oh, yes, we got the new CTO in. He definitely has a different style than the other CTO, but I've been talking and he really is interested in building these products and building them quickly, which is why he's kind of aggressive with things, but he wants these products for our customers. And I know that we all have been talking about, you know, you have some customers and you have some other customers who could really use a tool like this. So this might be a really good thing for us. They'll have those conversations if you take the time to bring them around. All right. Conscientious style. If you're interacting with the C style or someone who is conscientious, then you want to be prompt, prepared, and precise. You want to be prompt, don't be late. You want to be prepared. You knew you had this meeting on the calendar. Why don't you have all your ducks in a row? And you want to be precise. Were we talking about making that decision in Q2 or did we make that decision in Q2? Is it 46 million or 47 million? Which one is it? That's a pretty big difference. Allow them time to think, a huge one. Allow them time to think and be comfortable with silence. So a lot of people are uncomfortable with silence. If someone just stops talking, it's awkward and I have to say something to fill the time. No, you don't, because a C might be sitting there thinking. They might be saying, oh, that's really interesting. I had never thought about it that way. Let me think about that. It could be, all right, I know I'm working with a conscientious style. They need time to think. I'm going to schedule an initial meeting, present all of my information, and then schedule a follow-up meeting with them a week later. Because I know that they're going to read through every single thing I give them, and they're going to think about that and organize their thoughts. And then in a week's time, they'll be better prepared and more comfortable to have a follow-up discussion or to give me some opinions or direction. So that might be a way you give them time to think and literally give them silence and alone time, a week's time to kind of go through the information and come back to you on it. All right. So those are some very tactical and practical ways you can adapt your communication and interaction with people and just how you approach things that could make you much more effective, much more influential, and get you to the outcome and results that you want. All right, so we have these four styles, and it's great to keep these in mind because if you think about the elements we've talked about, direct, indirect, guarded, open, fast, slow, task, people, you'll notice that certain styles have some things in common and some things that are different. So if you're working with a dominant style and an influential style, then they both are direct and fast-paced. They have that in common, right? The difference is they tend to be task-oriented and guarded in one sense, and then the I styles tend to be open and people-oriented. But they have the direct and fast thing together. Same thing on the other side. So if you have a conscientious style and a steady style, they're both indirect, and they both tend to move a little bit slower. And then you've got conscientious and dominant are both task-oriented and tend to be guarded. So you have all these things that are similar and different. And just knowing the dynamic of this within your team is really, really helpful. A fun part about this is because we have all styles within us, some people will score very high on a D style and an S style. Now, on our chart, on a quadrant, those are kitty corner. Those are like the opposite diagonal ends of it. And so they have a really tough time because they have this inner push and pull of, you know, do I move fast? Do I move slow? Am I guarded? Am I open in different situations? And the other diagonal is conscientious and influential. So you can have that in one person, and sometimes it competes with themselves, and sometimes it creates this interesting push and pull dynamic. And so if you've had moments of like, oh, like I feel like I need to do both of these things, or I feel both of these emotions about this situation, and it's kind of at some inner tension, that might be what's happening. So just know that that can happen as well. All right. So as we wrap up this episode, a few takeaways for you. What is one way that you can adjust your communication style to be more effective with a colleague this week? So think about what you know about your style now and what you might be like, oh, this person over here that I work with is definitely this style, has a lot of these things showing up. Knowing that, how can I adjust how I interact with them for the better this week? Okay, so that's one takeaway. The next one is, if you want to read more about this, I would highly recommend the book Taking Flight. Taking Flight is a fun, easy, light read. It's about four birds, an eagle, a parrot, a dove, and an owl. And the four birds represent the four disc styles. And these four birds are solving a problem in their forest. So it's a light read, and it's basically how these different birds communicate and approach and problem solve, but it gives you some more insight in a fun way about the disc styles. So you can finish this book in a long weekend or a long plane ride, but Taking Flight, and I'll leave that link in the show notes. The other takeaway is, if you have been really interested in what you're hearing and, oh yes, that would be great to know about my principal. That would be great to know about my leadership team or certain managers or anyone else in my organization, I would highly recommend going and running a DISC report for folks. So the ones that I used when I was chief of staff was 24/7 assessments. So 24/7 assessments, I'll leave a link in the show notes, but they have DISC profiles. They have a whole bunch of other profiles and assessments as well. But I really like their reporting, so you can check that out. And by the way, a really fun part of running these reports as a team is to guess other people's DISC style before you know. So I ran the reports individually and went through reports individually with folks. And then we had a big team meeting to talk about DISC and our different styles. And it was really fun to have the group guess each other's style before they knew. And some of them were spot on. It was like, yep, you show up like this. This is like clear as day. And some were really big surprises. No way. No way. You can't be that style. No way. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And there was a whole bunch of insights in there. So it was, so that's why you get annoyed when I send you emails like that. I should do bullet points, not the sequel to War and Peace. Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be great. All of those types of things. I had one person, one VP, there was a page in the report that is a summary sheet of how to communicate with her style. So the do's and don'ts of how to communicate with her. And she ripped out that page and she taped it to the front of her desk. So literally anytime someone was at her desk talking to her, they had a little cheat sheet of what to say and what not to say and how to present information. So those can be a lot of fun. By the way, people are surprised by my DISC style. So I will throw a bonus takeaway. If you want to guess my style and ping me on LinkedIn, then I will tell you my natural and adapted style, but it's often not the one that people think. All right, so we have run through the DISC methodology. We've talked about a predictable framework, how to identify the styles, and how to adapt to the person that you're speaking to, depending on their DISC style. All right, I will catch you next week for Leveraging Leadership. Go forth, be good leaders, be good chiefs of staff, be good team members, and I will talk to you soon.
If you're not interested in gaining valuable knowledge and becoming a better leader, then by all means, don't subscribe. But if you're keen on becoming a highly knowledgeable, more successful, and confident leader, then hit that subscribe button.